Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We turn now to Afghanistan, where after months of on and off again negotiations, the U.S. and Afghanistan have announced a strategic partnership agreement that ensures an American presence in that country until at least 2024. That's a full decade after U.S. combat troops are scheduled to withdraw from the country in 2014. But just a minute, the agreement, whose text wasn't released, doesn't include many specifics at all. There's no specific dollar amount for U.S. aid listed. The plan doesn't lay out what role the American security presence will even play as that country recovers from war. Which brings us to the question, is the agreement more of a symbolic than substantive nature at a time when the U.S. could use some good news in that country? What does it say about the American-Afghan relationship? And with so little detail, how much weight should we even place on this pact? Well, to answer some of those questions, we're joined by Ambassador Akbar Ahmed, Chair of Islamic Studies at American University. Hello, Ambassador.
Good morning, and thank you for asking me.
Of course. Well, first things first, Ambassador Ahmed, what do we know about this agreement? Details are slight.
You've summed it up very well. We know little about it. It does raise a lot of questions. But what is important is that it took place at all. It is, I would see it more as a letter of intent, symbolic, as you said, not very substantive. And it cannot be more because it's to be seen in the context of what's happening in Afghanistan. We are seeing the winding down of the longest war America has been involved in. The Taliban are resurgent. Only a few days ago, they attacked Kabul itself, attacked the British embassy, the parliament, NATO headquarters. So we are seeing, and elsewhere outside Kabul, so we are seeing a pattern of very strong resistance emerging on the ground. President Karzai himself was reluctant to sign any agreements with the United States until the agreement included the handing over of the Bagram prison camp and the suspension of the night raids. So there's a lot going on in the background.
One of the factors of announcing troop withdrawals, as we have done in Afghanistan for 2014, and as you know, critics respond to those announcements by saying, well, the enemy will simply wait you out. They know when you're going to leave, and they will come back to fight after you go. One of the advantages, perhaps, of an agreement like this is that it tells both our friends and the Taliban that, yes, we may be drawing out U.S. troops in 2014, but, hey, we're still going to be around. You're not going to be able to fill a vacuum. Is that part of this?
It could be part of it, but that's also a strategy that could backfire because the last thing that President Karzai would want and the people who want some kind of stability would be to continue to give a provocation for the Taliban because right now the strategy needs to get those elements who are creating the violence to put down their guns and start talking. And that is the tricky part because the Taliban are resurgent not only on the eastern part of Afghanistan but across the border in Pakistan. The tribal areas of Pakistan, particularly Waziristan, which is at the epicenter of the resistance over there, is really very, very agitated. And therefore, there's violence that is being recorded on both sides of the border.
We're speaking to Ambassador Akbar Ahmed, Chair of Islamic Studies at the American University. Ambassador, with so few details in an agreement like this, somebody like me is sort of forced to look at the timing. And you mentioned that the most important part of this agreement is that it happened at all. And the timing occurs to me at a time when the United States could really use some good news in Afghanistan. We have, of course, more photos of U.S. troops posing with dead enemy fighters, not to mention the murder of 16 Afghan civilians allegedly by a U.S. sergeant. The timing of this strikes me as fortuitous, to say the least.
Yes, you're absolutely right. These incidents are coming thick and fast, and of course they create great despair among the American diplomatic corps and American soldiers. Many of the senior soldiers apologized. In fact, the apology went up to the President of the United States, which is quite unprecedented. So you're seeing on the one hand really determined efforts to create a structure which would allow the United States to recoup some of their investment in Afghanistan, a great investment in literally billions of dollars and so many thousands of lives. so that there is a working relationship into the future, because this area is so critical in geopolitical terms. And on the other hand, the sensitivities of the Afghan people who have just reached the point of no return. They're saying, look, we just cannot take any more of this daily almost exposure of Afghans being humiliated and insulted and attacked and killed. And we just want this to end. So you're seeing this very delicate balance. And in that balance, of course, you have President Karzai playing his own sense of survival between the United States and their pressures and his own people and their pressures, and then the Taliban who he has to negotiate with.
Isn't it likely that, Ambassador, with so few details, I realize we're forced to speculate a little bit and sort of take the broader view here, but it seems as though some of these details on U.S. posture in Afghanistan or President Karzai's relationship with the United States haven't been worked out yet. They've got the positive news of an agreement. Maybe it's what we call like a shell. We'll fill in the details later. Let's just get some good news out about an agreement between our two governments that we're solid, we're stable, and we're moving forward. I realize this is speculation, but that seems likely, doesn't it?
I agree. I think this is exactly right. As I said, I suspect is more of a letter of intent. That we do need an agreement, we want an agreement, and we will have an agreement and details to be filled in later, even if you have some kind of a cursory filling in of details right now. The intent is important, both governments wanting this relationship. And that's a strong basis for any kind of understanding or agreement in the future. Of course, it all depends on what will emerge once the United States pulls out most of its troops. We just have no idea, because those tribes, if you read the history of that part of the world, and I, in fact, am writing a book on that right now. Let me quote Sir Olaf Garo, one of the last governors of the frontier province, the British governor, who wrote on the regions on both sides of the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. And he said that no one really can predict what's going to be happening in this region, number one. And he said, number two, these fighters, the tribesmen on that side of the border, are really beginning the fight when we think the fight is over.
Indeed.
When we think the war's over, that's when they've begun their war.
And it appears that the U.S. presence in Afghanistan, whether it's combat or fighting or not, is going to last for much, much longer. An agreement, a letter of intent, if you will, that the United States will be in Afghanistan at least until 2014. Ambassador Akbar Ahmed, Chair of Islamic Studies at American University, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Todd.